Let's discuss this now live with musician, Pink Floyd founding member and activist Roger Waters. Roger, I'm happy to have you join me now. Now, the U.S. Thank you. Now, the U.S. has long been a self-titled protector of democracy. But now we see the Secretary of Labor effectively calling for the head of X to be put behind bars. How does that correlate with the so-called free speech in the West, including the recent arrest of the Telegram Messenger co-founder?
Well, it's all a bit confusing, isn't it? But if we think about it, really, propaganda rules supreme, doesn't it? Certainly, certainly in the United States where I live, it seems to. And so the whole idea, the notion of free speech is a very laudable one, and we should all support it with every breath we have in our body. Because if we are not allowed to express ourselves freely and also to print what we want freely, then our predicament becomes even more precarious than it already is. But the world that we live in, to tell truth from lies, it becomes increasingly difficult, particularly with AI coming on the scene as well, where you can sort of make up anything you want and pretend it's reality. We live in a very difficult situation. So it might be that what we need to do, all of us, all human beings, wherever we live, whether we live in Russia or live in the United States or in Europe or anywhere, Africa, wherever, is that we should look back to Paris in 1948, 10th of December, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and start to take it seriously and start to enshrine those 30 articles in universal law. If we could do that, a lot of our problems would fade into insignificance, in my view.
All right. Now, talk show host Tucker Carlson has said that France wouldn't dare arrest Durov without a nod from the White House. Now, do you think those claims are grounded that way?
I haven't the faintest idea. I've no idea why the French authorities have arrested him. I know very little about Telegram. I am apparently part of that network. I'm not quite sure why, but I see my name on that list. I find it somewhat difficult to navigate it. I have believed in encrypted communication between individuals, in that I've used Signal for some time, believing it to be real. There are voices out there that say none of these encryption systems work at all, and that they can be broken by anybody who wants to break them, really. But so who knows where the truth lies? This is one of the tricky things about what truth has become, or we tend now to listen to the loudest voice. I hope that encryption works and that we can protect conversations with others using encryption, such as the one that Telegram says that it uses. I'm not saying it doesn't. I don't know Pavel. Never met him. I don't know much about this business. It's not my area of expertise. I hope encryption works.
All right. Now, we've seen your angry reaction to peace activist Sarah Wilkinson's arrest. You said that the UK is now becoming a fascist state. Now, how serious is the government's crackdown on voices online which do not fit London's narrative?
Well, it's extremely serious. It's pure fascism. If you can arrest Sarah Wilkinson, because I believe she used the adjective incredible to describe the resistance movement's actions on October the 7th in Israel. And that, I'm told, is the reason that she's been, that an arrest warrant was issued for her, and that the police raided her house and confiscated her laptop and her phone and searched everything and are making life difficult for her because she used the adjective incredible. Well, the incursion by Hamas and the forces and the Palestinian forces into southern Israel was incredible. How they can make that illegal for her to say that, I've no idea. But they're trying to make marches for peace illegal in England. Keir Starmer, the new Nazi leader of England, the new prime minister, is trying to make it illegal to protest genocide on the streets of London. So if that can happen, almost anything can happen. But is it wrong? Yes, it's 100% wrong. And the attack on Sarah Wilkinson is 100% wrong. And the attack on any of those protesters and any of those people carrying Palestinian flags or wearing kaffiyehs or saying Palestine must be free from the river to the sea, or promoting the idea of a single democratic state in the Holy Land, to make those acts illegal, which they've already done in Germany, I have to say, and it looks like they're doing it in France as well, is criminally insane and leads us down a very, very dangerous path towards a totalitarian future that I, for one, do not wish to see.
Now, more and more people are coming out in the streets to voice their discontent with the UK's policies and demanding an end to the war in Gaza, while the government continues to support the Israeli offensive. Now, does the will of the people mean anything to Westminster?
No, of course not. It never has. They are the poodles. They are the puppets of the United States government. The Keir Starmer will do whatever he's told to do. By Westminster, by the masters in Westminster. And we've been doing it all along. It's the same way that they sent Boris Johnson to Kiev to tell Zelensky that he was not allowed to make peace with the Russian Federation back in April 2022. And they just did it. Boris Johnson was the prime minister then. And they said, do it. And so he did it. And Keir Starmer will do whatever he is told to do by his masters in Washington, sadly.
Now,
the will of the people is irrelevant. Sorry to interrupt you, but yes, you are right. The will of the English people is irrelevant because the English people are good people. They're good-hearted people at heart when they're not led astray by propaganda. And so they are against the genocide, as are the huge majority of all the people of this globe, of planet Earth. There's a huge majority of us who believe that the Israelis are committing genocide in Palestine and that they must be stopped. And if the first and the quickest way to stop them is to stop providing them with weapons to perpetrate the genocide. There should be no weapon sales or gifts, or no weapons should be allowed into Israel from henceforth until they join the rest of the human race and stop committing genocide on the indigenous people of that land.
Yeah, so we have seen rallies on the streets in London sometime against the occupation of Gaza. Now, Egypt, Qatar and the US all say they are continuing to try to broker a truce in the Israeli-Hamas war. Do you expect Netanyahu and his Western supporters ever to come to an agreement with Hamas?
Of course not. They're lying. It's just a bare lie, bare-faced lying from the Americans and from the Israelis. They have absolutely no intention of brokering a deal. There was a deal on the table. Actually, weirdly enough, to give him his due, Biden came up with a deal, 2 months ago, which Hamas accepted, and then the Israelis said no. And then Biden went, oh, sorry, I made a mistake. That's not actually a deal that we're going to do. Netanyahu has said no, so the answer is no. So the ball is entirely in Israel's court. Israel is the one that is breaking all the deals. Israel is the one that is presenting the release of the hostages. Israel is the one that is stopping any chance for peace to come to the Holy Land. Israel is responsible. Israel is the country that has been occupying another country since 1967 against the Geneva Conventions and all international law. Israel is the perpetrator of this genocide, not Hamas, not the people of Palestine. So let's be clear, this is not complicated in any way. What's going to happen? who knows? But it all looks deeply dangerous because it looks as if Netanyahu, it looks as if his only way of staying out of jail, as I read it, reading the press as I do, trying to find out bits of truth, one truth seems to be that Netanyahu should be in jail, and he would be. The only reason he's not is because he is keeping the genocide of the Palestinian people going as he doubles, triples, quadruples, quintuples his efforts to drag the rest of the world into the Gog Magog final confrontation that will destroy this whole planet. This is trying to start a war with Iran, I'm talking about. And we must resist him. Russia must resist him. The United States must resist him. The UK, Germany, Holland, France, the whole of Europe must resist him because he will try and take the rest of us with him. And he may succeed. And it won't be a laughing matter then when we wake up one morning and there's a nuclear war going on and we look at one another and we go, why didn't we just abide by December the 10th, 1948, when we all knowingly signed the 30 articles of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights? Because if we all did agree that each and every one of us deserve basic human rights, there would be no war. There would be no genocide in the Holy Land if we accepted universal human rights.
Right now, speaking about the dire humanitarian situation in Gaza, now Palestinian health officials are beginning a mass polio vaccination drive, but analysts question whether the campaign will succeed. Now, what are the chances, in your view, taking into consideration the conditions people are living in there?
Nothing's going to happen until we stop arming Israel. How many more times do I and anybody else with half a brain have to say it? We must cut off all arms to Israel. Please, could somebody go and knock on Kamala Harris's door and say, no, you can't go on giving Israel £2,000 bombs to murder children with. You have to say no, whether you do it before or no, you have to do it now, Kamala. Because they're going to do it tomorrow. Tomorrow they will be dropping £2,000 bombs on our brothers and sisters, babies in Gaza. You have it in your hand. All you have to do is tell Joe, this isn't working. Stop now. The whole world can see that what you and I are doing is being complicit in genocide. And the whole world can see that it is wrong. That's why you're called Genocide Joe, and I will be called Genocide Kamala, because what we're doing is murder. We must stop doing it. And it's no good saying, well, it's not actually us, it's Netanyahu and Ben-Gavir and the rest of the fascist swine in Tel Aviv. We are giving them the bombs to do it with. We must stop. Our people, the American people, want them to stop. If you look at the polls, they just won't. And I have my theories as to why they won't, but which may be right or may be wrong. There's no way to prove or disprove them. I think there's a huge amount of profit in genocide. I think that's why they're doing it. I could be wrong, obviously. But why else would you, why would you do it? Obviously, we know the Israelis are doing it because they want to steal everything that the Palestinians have got. They want every square foot of ground. They want every olive tree. They want every mountain. They want all the land, and they want it free of Arab people. So they're going to kill them all. It's not just Gaza. They're doing it in the West Bank as well. As anybody who looks at any of the news can see, that's one of the good things about the internet, that we can see what's going on. It's all there for us to watch. We wake up every morning weeping for our brothers and sisters in Palestine, wondering what to do today. Thank you. Thank you so much, RT, for inviting me to be on your news program today so I can vent my love for my brothers and sisters. okay, and my concern for the Israelis and for the Americans and for the Brits and for the Germans and for the Dutch and for the French who are supporting this horrific act of genocide. So I've had my say, but I really sincerely thank you. And I thank the Russian people for listening to what I have to say. Human rights, December the 10th, 1948, universal human rights. And if we don't start to abide by that declaration from then, we're all done for.
And we also thank you for your strong voice and consistency in standing for the right thing on the right side as well, and the right side of history. Now, let's continue on this. Now, relatives of hostages say that Netanyahu should take responsibility for the deaths of six of the detainees whose bodies were discovered last week. Now, what is your thoughts on how much, if of any, there's any responsibility on Netanyahu's desk for the death of the six bodies that were found?
I think focusing on Netanyahu is probably a waste of time. The whole Zionist experiment has failed. The Zionist experiment, which is mainly down to the British government of 1917, as expressed in the letter to Rothschild written by Lord Balfour back in 1917, the so-called Balfour Declaration, which said this government supports the idea of a Jewish homeland for the people in Palestine. And that was the start of the problem. What's forgotten is that Balfour went on to say, so long as the creation of such a homeland would not in any way infringe upon the religious and human and civil and legal rights of any of the people living there, who at the time in 1970, were 93% of the population. Okay, 93% of the population. And it was after the Balfour Declaration that they started moving Jewish people from northeastern Europe into the Holy Land in order to start trying to create this land. Well, if you wanted to, you could sit down over a cup of tea and have a long conversation about whether or not that was a good idea. We now know that it was a terrible idea, because we know that Herzog and if that was his name, and back in the late 19th century, and the fathers and the founders of the idea of Zionism had no intention at all of respecting the religious and civil and legal rights of the indigenous people. And that is why we're on the brink of World War III in the Middle East, because the interlopers there, who were the people who moved in from northeastern Europe, have created a situation in their attempt to ethnically cleanse the whole of 1948 Palestine. They have brought us to the brink of World War III. And it's not about anything that normal people would even have a conversation about. Do we believe in racist, supremacist, land-stealing, political and religious philosophies? Hang on, I'll see if I can find anyone. Anybody agree with that? Nobody here agrees with that idea. We all think that stealing land from other people is wrong, okay? But this has to be explained to the Israelis, particularly the right wing, the Kahnanists in the Knesset. They need to be told that what they are doing is wrong. And the only way to tell them, as I said before, is to stop giving them weapons and support. The Americans must stop. The English must stop. The French. I've said all this before. They're not going to stop suddenly on their own. They're not suddenly going to go, oh, yeah, we made a mistake. Of course these people have rights. They've lived in a nation that is built upon the propaganda that comes down from what they think they read in the Bible, that they are superior to all the other people on earth. Okay, I'm sorry to say this, but they do. And if they don't believe it, well, if you don't believe that, what do you think you're doing? Why are you behaving like this? Why are you treating the Palestinians as if they were cockroaches, bugs, something less than human? I know why they're doing it. They believe that they are more human than the Palestinians. It's Animal Farm come to life. This is pure Orwell. Remember how the pigs who ruled everything believed that they were more equal than, that some animals are more equal than others? Well, you're not, Mr. Netanyahu, Shaked Eilert, Ben Gavir, and the rest of you. You are not more equal than the other human beings, the ones that you are murdering. We are all equal. We're all the same DNA. We are all African. All the work into the genome tells us so. We are brothers and sisters and cousins, all of us. Your book is wrong if that's your interpretation of it. And your American brothers and sisters must stop giving you the bombs to murder our other brothers and sisters, the Palestinians. It's insane what we, the rest of the world, are allowing to happen. We cannot accept genocide. That is why we need to give the ICJ and the ICC actual real teeth. So we need to reorganize the United Nations. The veto in the Security Council must go. I mean, I'm sorry I'm going on, but I could go on for a day and a half sitting talking to this camera. Particularly attracted as I am to the idea that I'm talking to the good people of Russia, who we've never really yet thanked them for beating the Germans in the Second World War at the cost of 22 million dead. Thank you. Thank you. We thank you, people of Russia, for that huge sacrifice that you made. And no, we didn't win the war on D-Day. You won the war. On the Eastern Front, you, the Russian people, thank you.
Thank you so much, Roger. Thank you very much for your strong voice. You have influenced a lot of people around the world with your voice on doing the right thing. Now, British politicians are heavily invested in the war in Gaza, as well as even the war in Ukraine. Now, you are a renowned musician and have a very strong voice. Now, we even hear that about 30 export licenses have been given out, you know, in contracts, as the case may be. If you stand in the same room and with the opportunity to speak to Keir Starmer directly, what would be your strong message to him directly?
Keir Starmer? Yeah. I wouldn't waste my breath uttering a single word to Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer is criminally insane. We should be looking after Keir Starmer in a padded room somewhere. We should give him a nice bowl of porridge in the morning and maybe have somebody to go in and chat to him during the day to see if we can see if we could bring him back into the human race. Keir Starmer's a lost cause. What has this got to do with the Ukraine? With Ukraine, I mean, and the problems in Ukraine and the war in Ukraine. Why don't we stop the war in Ukraine? We know why. Why didn't we stop the war in Ukraine in April 2022, which is now a year and a half ago? Why? Because the Americans wanted to continue it. We know that. We know that your president, Vladimir Putin, had done a deal with Zelensky. And it was all public. It happened in it was through Istanbul, I believe. There was a peace deal on the table. The war could have stopped in April, a year. Is that a year ago or 2 years ago? 2 years ago.
2 years.
Okay. But the Americans didn't want that. They want to weaken the Russians, and they like war. War is good. There's a lot of profit to be made out of war. So we have to believe, there's no other reason for it. So we have to believe that we are all on the brink of destruction because the nuclear threat isn't just the Samson option in Israel. It's also the potential for the NATO alliance to push Russia beyond the limits that it can bear. And they're already beginning to do it, encouraging incursions into Kursk, as we see. So we are all under the mortal threat of World War III. And why? Why? Well, they will say, well, obviously, because Putin illegally invaded Ukraine and he's going to invade the rest of Europe as well. No, he's not. I wrote him a letter. He's made it quite clear since then, and so has Lavrov, who is the foreign minister, who seems to be an eminently sensible man, unlike Antony Blinken, I have to say. So they have no interest in anything to do with the land in Poland or Romania or the western bits of Ukraine where the indigenous people are not Russian speaking. We all know, of course the invasion was illegal. I condemned it back then. I made a speech to the Security Council about it. Oh, illegal. But as I said in the Security Council, it's illegal, but it was not unprovoked, which is what all the media in the West said then and have been saying ever since. The unprovoked attack, no. The attack was provoked by the bombing since 2014, since the illegal coup in Kiev and the imposition of an illegal government in Kiev, the bombing of the people in Luhansk and Donetsk, in the Donbass. And everybody knows this. It's not hidden. It's completely understood. Not to mention the Crimea, but they tell lie after lie after lie after lie. Because, guess why? They don't care. They actually don't care. They talk about democracy and freedom. They claim that's why they're supporting this war in the Ukraine. Well, hang on. If democracy and freedom... Zelensky was elected with a mandate of 75% of the people voting. And he was elected upon the platform of agreeing the Minsk Accords. And the Minsk Accords said that there would be autonomy in the Donbass for the Russian-speaking population. And that the civil war that was going on and had been going on from 2014 to 2022 would be brought to an end. That was Zelensky's platform. And I have no doubt that he meant it when he said it. But as soon as he was elected, you're not doing that, mate, from the far right in Kiev. And so he said, sorry, I didn't mean that. And it changed everything. But they came to the table and they made an agreement in April 2022, 2.5 years ago. So why is the war still going on? It suits the military-industrial complex in the United States of America. There's profit in it. There's no other reason. Unless they really are trying to weaken the Russian. What? Weaken the Russian people? Weaken their resolve? Are you crazy? Do you know who they are? They're the people who defeated the Wehrmacht. Okay. You see what happened after the Germans invaded Kursk in 1943? No, neither did I. I was only being born that September, and the invasion happened in July. But I've read the history of what happened then. Don't you even dream for a millisecond of weakening the Russian people. It's so stupid. And that's what we face, unfortunately, now, living in these contemporary times, is we face unbearably stupid foreign policy moves coming from the most powerful, most heavily armed, richest empire in the world for now. And it's in decline. This is when empires get desperate. So the American empire, which is in decline, is getting desperate, and it's beginning to throw its weight around in ways that could be calamitously misguided and could lead to a nuclear conflagration that will kill every living thing on this planet. And they don't seem... How extraordinary is it that they don't want... that Blinken doesn't want to sit down with Lavrov and talk this through. Go, maybe there's something to what you say. Well, maybe that wouldn't be such a bad idea if everybody in the Ukraine felt safe, if all the Russian-speaking people felt safe and all the non-Russian-speaking people felt safe and were safe, because power was wrested from the Azov battalions who want to finish the work that Hitler started with the invasion of Kursk in 1943. Wouldn't that be a good thing if we could live together in peace? That if the Ukraine could grow wheat and sell it to other people or do anything else, maybe they have minerals, maybe, who knows? But of course, what we're seeing now is very rich Americans thinking, oh, we could get all that wheat, whatever else. What have they got? Have they got any gold or diamonds or, yeah, well, let's go in and steal it all. That's what we do. That is what our empire is for. It's what we've been doing all over the world for hundreds of years, a couple of hundred years anyway. Let's just keep doing it. I know this may be somewhat controversial in the United States, but you know what? I'm nearly 81 years old. There comes a time when you have to stop being careful and tell the truth. And that is what is happening. And it's what has been happening for hundreds of years. And it has to stop happening. Okay, so we try. Let's start with Gaza and the West Bank and Ukraine. Why don't we stop it happening in those places? Okay. Let's have a ceasefire everywhere and start looking after our brothers and sisters instead of slaughtering them. I know Mr. Lavrov would agree with that.
No, of course, because the point there is the Russian position has been clear, because they have said that the strategy to totally control Ukraine against Russia prompted the military operation in the first instance. But there has always been the issue of this thing can be put behind and we can move on. Like you said, peace for everyone and let's move on, prosperity for everybody. Now, before I let you go, meanwhile, in the EU, the power balance seems to shift. Now, the German Chancellor has said that he's alarmed by the election success of the right-wing Alternative for Germany party. You've been watching all of these. I wonder what your thoughts are.
You know, it's interesting that the way the current government of Germany has gone and what's happened in the Bundestag. I've tended to see it through the lens of my support for peace in the Holy Land to start with, and the way the Germans have responded, for instance, to my activism in my support of the Palestinians, the victims in that scenario. They tried to cancel my shows when I was playing rock and roll in there. They did. And now their police are beating up old people and young women in the street for wearing a kefieh. You know what a kefieh is? It's a Palestinian headscarf, neck scarf, shoulder scarf. And it's become symbolic with the Palestinian struggle. So weird. It's so weird that the Germans, with their history of national guilt after the Holocaust, would now be on the wrong side of the Holocaust again. There's a new Holocaust. And it's happening in Gaza and the West Bank, in Palestine. And the Germans have criminalized anybody who's protesting it. And that criminalization has spread now from Germany to Holland and to the United Kingdom and to France. So it seems as if a lot of the countries in NATO are gathering together to create a new fascism, where human rights don't mean a fig. They count for nothing. Because if the idea of human rights is not applied equally to everyone, irrespective of their ethnicity or religion or nationality, then they're worthless. And the German governments, successive German governments, have been saying, no, the Israeli human rights are far more important than Palestinian human rights. We support the genocide of the Palestinians. And they've done it, I think, largely because they've felt so guilty after the Second World War of the fact that they had been perpetrating a Holocaust on Jewish people. And so they can't see their way clear to adopting policies whereby everyone is treated equally. We all have equal universal human rights. This is the problem. I know I keep coming back to it, but it solves every problem on the face of the earth. So that would mean, for instance, that in Africa, where they don't care how many Africans die when they're mining the gold or the diamonds or whatever it might be, that the colonialists, usually white European colonialists, are stealing from the Africans. That what that would mean would be that the rights of the colonialists to steal the diamonds are no greater than the rights of the people digging the diamonds out of the ground to have long, happy, healthy lives with their loving children and wives and families, and to have an education and to have a health service, and to live in a country where it is actually a democracy, where it isn't ruled by the owners of the mines. And this is what we're all working towards. This is what we're trying to work towards. And I'm part of that movement to work towards that. And it all derives from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That's all it is. And I keep saying it again and again and again and again, because it's very simple and it's very, very easy to understand. And it's the end of the Ukraine civil war, and it's the end of the genocide in Gaza and the West Bank in Palestine. And it would be, and it's the end of all conflicts, is that. Because whenever it comes up, we can look at it and go, well, hang on a minute, let's have a look at this. Are these people getting the same rights as these people? Oh, no, look, these people are getting more rights because they're really rich and can afford lawyers. You know, there's a thing that I wrote in an opera about the French Revolution a few years ago. There's a little verse in it, and I actually wrote this bit of libretto. It goes, tears like falling rain slake the thirst and ease the pain, but cooling in the crucible, an idea forms, a nugget of belief in the hearts of the poor, that maybe in the dawn's new light, they have a right to the law. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow. Roger Waters, thank you so much for your insight here. You've taken us round the world on issues that we have to chew on for a long time. Thank you so much. Roger Waters, a musician, a Pink Floyd founding member and activist, speaking to me on world issues. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right.